Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now is the owner of Black Ice Comics, Shanna Portine. Shanna, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I've been wanting to get you in here for a while. Certainly, since about Christmas time when I was doing a lot of shopping and was looking for some comic book stuff. But, you know, you've been in business now for, what, about 6 months?
Since April, the end of April. Oh, okay. Yeah, so a little bit longer than that. Yeah, okay. A little bit longer than that.
You opened up with a lot of fanfare because, I mean, it was a comic book store opening up in Houghton, the first of its kind, tucked underneath the parking deck, a perfect location for you because you almost, you know, a comic book store should be under a parking deck.
Seems a little tucked out of the way, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it has that foreboding feeling as you're going in there.
Feeling.
You know, but yeah, it's really pretty neat. What made you want to open up a comic book store?
Well, I guess to give a little context, back when I was in high school, my family decided to open up a comic book store back in Oklahoma. I grew up in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And so I had at least some knowledge of what it meant to run a comic book store. And, of course, through college and I went on to grad school and took another path. Been in higher ed in many years, and decided to probably have a change. Now, the comic book store back in Stillwater is still run by my older brother. And he's been after me for years. He said, oh, leave higher ed, do this, you'll enjoy it. You know, it's been good to him. And so when I decided that I wanted to make a change, I thought, well, do what you know. And it so happened that, you know, my husband and I moved up here back in this fall of 2012 and up here to take jobs at in higher ed. And loved it so much here that I moved my parents up from Oklahoma up here. So I had pretty much like the old gang, you know, kind of back here to help and advise. And so every place I've lived, you always, because it's just a part of who I am, you always kind of checked out, oh, is there a comic book store here? And I was surprised that there wasn't. You know, it's a small community, but I lived in other small college communities before. And generally there was at least, you know, record store / comic book store, a small hole-in-the-wall comic book store. And so when I decided to make a change from higher ed to something else, I thought, what better way to do it than to bring a comic book store to this community? So, yeah.
We've seen a lot of small businesses downtown come and go over the years, and some of them were some pretty unique ideas, pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. The comic book store seemed to be a kind of a risk, but what factors, other than that there wasn't one already here, did you see that, you know, when you were talking about it, people said, yeah, you know, that might have a go?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, one of the things that, you know, I think a lot of people think that my primary clientele are the college students. And so having both Finlandia and, or I should include Gogebic too. So you've got Gogebic, you've got Finlandia, and you have Michigan Tech, of course. Yes, I've got a lot of clientele from you know, those areas. But I got to tell you, the community, that was probably the gamble, is how much of the community wanted to embrace you know, comics, and because I am a full service comic book store, so I have new issues, I have the older back issues, and you know, I think that the movies have generated a lot of interest in people that maybe either liked comics at one point in their life, maybe when they were kids, and then walked away from it because, you know, as an adult, it gained a little bit of a stigma that was a child thing to do, was to read or collect comics. It's certainly not that way anymore. But I think that the movies have generated a new interest, even for people maybe who never, maybe they read Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, but really got into these superhero movies and they wanted to come in and check it out. And I'm absolutely amazed at how the community has embraced the shop, and they've come in to say, you know what, I haven't read any, you know, I haven't read a comic in 30 years. What's new? And so I can take them over the new issues, and then they like to stroll through the back issues to see what they used to read and pick up, oh, I had this comic. I've even had college students come in and say, I've never read a comic in my entire life. What do you think I might like? And the cool thing is that whatever you're interested in, more than likely, there's probably a comic that's been written about it. So I can get people into it. And I've got voracious readers here, and it's fun to help them out and find them something they're going to enjoy.
Black Ice Comics is located in downtown Houghton, underneath the parking deck, right next to where Center Ice is, the hockey store and skating store. No affiliation, even though the ice appears in the name for both. But
it's easy to remember, yeah. Right?
And you walk in, and you've got several rows of the back issues, and you're right, flipping through those are pretty neat. And then along the walls, movie store sort of display where you have all of these covers of the different new issues that are out, and just you walk in and immediately you are sucked back into whether or not a different time or it's certainly an escape. And I remember going to the comic book store when I was a child, and this would certainly before Nintendo changed everything, because that was probably when kids started reading less and started wanting that adventure, but finding it in a different means. But going in and looking for particular comics, I remember, the G.I. Joe comics. I remember before the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out, my friends and I used to read the Radioactive Black Belt Adolescent Hamsters. And that was a big thing that we used to pass around to each other. I was the Transformer comics, because that was, as for a lot of things, the book or the comic comes out before the show does,
right,
and that was the same case with that. Different ones that are probably lost in my memory, but I still remember that was you would get a dollar and be able to go buy a couple of different comics there. They were probably 50 cents a piece. I don't really remember, it didn't take a lot of money.
Right.
And you can go there and do it, and it was a cherished memory as a child. So walking into Black Ice Comics, I got to say, you immediately fall back into that, and you start seeing these things that those issues that you used to read, and then seeing that that's carrying on, and seeing brand new comic book lines that I had never seen before. But I was like, oh, this looks interesting. This looks good. And I started reading a couple of them.
Right.
Anybody, if I can walk in there and find something that I enjoy reading, I bet anybody could.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. At any age. Mm-hmm. And so, regardless, whatever your interests are, like I said, more than likely there is either a comic or what we call the graphic novels, which are the self-contained books, but they're written still in the comic form, where you have the panels that are linked together and make the strips and the artwork. I still have those very much available. And if I don't have it in the shop, more than likely I can get it through my distributor.
Some of the most popular shows that are on television are based on, comic books or graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead, which has been running for so many years now and is still one of the most popular shows on television, has, I don't even know how many issues.
Huge following.
Yeah, and the comic books, where it all began.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's up into, I want to say the 160s, I think, is where it's at right now. And so that started, I believe, in 2003. And so, yeah, it started out as a comic book and now a very successful show. And, one of the things that I have found, there are people who like to collect the comic, and a lot of the older issues are very difficult to find, so the hunt is on to try to find those, and they're expensive. I mean, they are very collectible. But for the people who really love the story, you can get what they call the trade paperbacks, which have, anywhere from each volume has probably 5 to 6 issues of the comic series, so you can catch up with those storylines, and they're eminently cheaper than trying to go back and locate some of those older original issues. And so I have people coming in asking for that all the time, and then they'll get caught up, with the series, and then go ahead and continue with the current issues that are still coming out.
Yeah, with some of those popular shows too, if you are up to date on the comics or the graphic novels, you kind of know what's going on. Not that they follow perfectly
they're older,
together,
yeah. But, and a lot of times they're based on older storylines, And
the beginning of Walking Dead this season, I guess everybody that read the comic knew that Glenn dies. Unless you watch the show, you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. For me, it was traumatic.
But right.
Then I went on.
I think it was still traumatic, probably, for a lot of people to see that.
I go online next day, they're like, yeah, you died in the comic books. And it's like, oh, okay. And then even the actor who plays Glenn wanted to preserve his death the way it happened in the comic book, so that it was, you know, true to the actual story. And then they told me something about Negan online, too, from the comic book that I don't want to say, because then I could spoil it, because it hasn't happened yet in the show. But yeah, that's, you know, it's just like when you read a book to get the deeper understanding of a movie. Which is the backwards way you should do it. You should read the book first and see the movie. But oftentimes I'll see a movie and go, I want to know a lot more about that, and then I'll read the book. The comic books can do that as well. And it sounds like we're geeking out a little bit on comics. Yes, because it's a fun topic.
It is.
And I'm sure you have a lot of people that come in, when they talk to you, they're just wowed, you know, and they, you know, this is a subject they, you know, you don't, unless you're already friends with somebody that is into it as well as you, it's a topic that it's like a fantasy football or something.
Oh,
you have to be sitting in the room with somebody else who does it.
Who does it to
have
understand.
A great conversation.
Right, right.
You probably get those people who just, they finally have somebody to talk to about all this.
I love it. I get asked all the time, so what do you read? And the thing is as the business owner, right, this is an industry. And so I don't really privilege myself as to what I like. I have to privilege and want to privilege my customers. What do they like? So I love it when they come in and want to talk about what it is that they like, or if they've read a book that was really good, and I try to pick their brain as to, you know, well, who else would kind of like this book? And then I can kind of use that to market it to other people, because that's the joy of doing this job, is bringing something really good to read to someone who's really going to enjoy it. And so, yeah, I love it. And you know, it all ties in with, you know, you were talking about video games. You know, the comic book industry, you know, it kind of parallels the video game industry. And so, you know, a lot of people who are into comics also play games. And so they like to come in and talk about that. Sometimes there's a complete crossover where it's a completely different way of engaging with the characters that you love to read in the comics. You've got a video game now that has, you know, those characters in it, and yeah, I love it when people come in and want to talk comics. It's fun. I learn a lot. I love that reciprocity, that I can say, well, you know, this is coming out, and then they can talk about, you know, the lines, what story arc was their favorite, and so where is it going to go in the future? Where do they anticipate these characters going in the future? I've also had people come in to say, look, I have followed, let's take Amazing Spider-Man, for example, you know, and I love Amazing Spider-Man, but I really hate the guy who's writing him right now, and I don't want to get the comic, you know, and it's okay. You know, you privilege that. You know, they know what they want, and yeah, but it's great. I love it when people want to come in and talk about what they love.
Flipping through your back issues, my first day when I came in as a customer, I found that you had a lot of Star Wars comics. And anybody that knows me knows I'm really into sci-fi and stuff. If you see Darth Vader walking around Treat Street, yeah, that's yours truly. and so I was looking through the Star Wars comics, and I come across one that had the oddest artwork. And I pulled it up, and I said, well, this looks really, really different than the other issues. And it was Star Wars number 3 that was just there, you know, a treasure among all those. And I don't know. It was obviously older, because the conception of Chewbacca on the artwork was not the Chewbacca in the film.
Right.
You know, it was a completely different, you know, it looked like somebody tried to imagine what Chewbacca would look like. So I don't know, again, if, you know, I've never opened it. It is still in the plastic. I bought it from you, and I took it home, and I bought other comics. I took those home and opened them right away and read them and stuff. But that one, I can't bring myself to break the seal and open it to go in and see it and find a publishing date or whatever. So it remains in there, because if it is off, you know, if it is an authentic, you know, 1977 comic that, you know, I picked up there, well, the last thing I want to do is open that up.
You know, well, you know what, Rick, bring it in. I will help you open it up, and we can go very carefully page by page. Well, but you know, I think too that so you have a difference between the films and the comics, and you know, I think sometimes you have people who are very critical of the films because they're not exactly like the comics, and I think you hear that sometimes with books too. I mean, you alluded to that. You should read the book first, but I think that you can enjoy them separately, and probably you should, because there is something about comics that's so unique. That you have, you know, the form and content is so unique to what it is, that, you know, you have the text, And then you have the immersion of the artwork, you know, and that is something that if you try to translate that into something else, maybe something gets lost, right? So I think that's why sometimes the films are so dramatically different. And so even for that number three, that even though the movie came out before the comic did, that the, you know, or it was simultaneously, that that was an artist rendition of what, you know, they felt that they want to interpret what Chewbacca was. And so, you know, they do this with the costumes, they do this with, you know, the dialogue or personality types, right? You know, that you've got actors that are trying to, quote unquote, stay true to the character. And when you have people who are diehard readers of a and really invested in a character, I mean, they're going to be really watching you
sure.
to make sure that you're delivering what they think you ought to be delivering. And so I think a good point is one of the things, too, that's been fun about the comic community here in Houghton is that we've had, you know, and we're going to have a lot of different superhero and comic-related movies coming out, not only this year, but in the future, right? They have several, I mean, what, like 60 or something slated to come out. It's going to be really saturated. But a lot of the customers have said, hey, let's all get together and go to these movies together. And so one that we did this summer was, in August, was Suicide Squad. And so there was such an eclectic group of people that went. There were people who had always read the comic, Suicide Squad. There were those that just kind of got on board with it because this movie was coming out and maybe read a few contemporary things here and there. And we even had some people that had never read it, didn't really know it, just looked cool, so they decided to come. So we went to the movie together and then went to KBC to sit down and discuss it. And that was the most fascinating discussion. It was so much fun that everybody had an opinion of what they saw and then how it related, what they liked, what they didn't like. It was so enjoyable. It was fabulous.
People take this stuff pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I had a number of friends who were into Green Lantern. I was never a Green Lantern. I couldn't tell you one thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
He was sometimes a guest appearance on the Justice League or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the Green Lantern movie came out, and all of my friends were geeking out about going to the Green Lantern movie. And I didn't go, and they came back, and they were all so upset. They were so upset. I learned more about Green Lantern than I ever intended to,
right,
by hearing about how much the movie messed it up.
Right.
You know, and eventually I did see the movie on DVD, and I go, wow, that was a dumb movie.
Yeah.
And people were saying, you know, it's the so there are people who like Green Lantern.
Right. That
the Green Lantern is the greatest superhero.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're darn sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you why.
That's right.
Yeah. And so that when the movie can both inspire or upset people that are
absolutely
fans of the comic.
Absolutely. I think that another good example is a Spider-Man, that when the Tobey Maguire movies came out, that a lot of the diehard amazing Spider-Man readers did not really care for that rendition, even though they were blockbusters, right? But it wasn't until the Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man came out that people were like, now that's how we wanted Spider-Man portrayed. And I think that I enjoyed both. I thought that, you know, but I do understand, you know, from their point of view, what the difference is. And you're right. I mean, they have to be. And it's kind of interesting, too, because if you look at, you've got DC and Marvel. Marvel still has probably the lion's share of the market share of the comic book industry. But, you know, when they were bought out by Disney, I mean, the quality of their movies has been touched by that, you know, magical Disney wand, I guess. And DC is working hard to catch up. And so there's a lot of hype. And then they just didn't quite deliver what people had hoped they would deliver. They've got some fantastic animated films that, matter of fact, if you have Netflix or whatever, I think a good share of them are on Netflix. You can catch a lot of them. But I think there's a lot riding. I think there was a lot riding on the Batman versus Superman movie, and
Wonder Woman now coming.
And
out
now Wonder Woman, right? And so Wonder Woman is the one that I think that people are like, okay, we're going to give you another chance. And the thing is that now, which is different than I think from the past, is that the movies are now having a really great impact on the comic books. Aquaman, let's take Aquaman. Sometimes Aquaman just can't get any love. And a lot of people are really excited of the way Aquaman is going to change with Jason Momoa, who played Khal Drogo in the Game of Thrones series. And so a big, big, beautiful, burly man, very, you know, he's olive skin, dark haired. And so they're almost, it's almost like Khal Drogo underwater is kind of how they're creating Aquaman. And they're not even releasing a lot of action figures right now of that, because they're going to change how Aquaman looks, and more than likely in the comics. And so, you know, that's I think transformative. That's something that we've not seen before.
Some of the people that I've known that have been big on comic book collecting have done it because they believe that they were storing up treasures in heaven, that this was going to be, you know, a major money-making thing. So, you know, some of the rare baseball cards that go right. for phenomenal amounts of money. The comic books, except for a few exceptions, you know, they don't achieve those type of monetary values for the most part.
No. And, you know, again, it depends. It depends on the book. It depends on the quality. It depends on a lot of things. I think that people collect for many different reasons, right? And I think that if you're collecting because you think that you're going to be rich someday, that's probably not, that's going to be a very disappointing day. When, you know, and or maybe your definition of being rich, I don't know, it's going to have to be, you know, but it's really subjective. But the amount of money that are going for certain comics has definitely gone up, and we can't deny that. The 90s, well, and as I keep saying about, you know, there's the business side of the comic industry. I think a lot of people think that what I do in the shop is that I just sit there and read comics all day and then run the till when people come in the door. And it's not. It's an actual business. And so the industry in and of itself, it's quirky. The publishers that are in it can make bad decisions, and that can have real effects to the industry and to the retailers, right? And then it can negatively impact your customers. In the 90s, there was what they call the comic book bust, and that's where you had the, if I could do air quotes, and you just think of air quotes, of the collector's mentality that, you know, this book is, they hyped books, they overprinted, speculation went crazy, and it went over the top, and I think they kind of did the same thing with sport cards, from what mm-hmm. I understand, and so they just overdid it. They overextended themselves, and it bottomed out the industry. And comic book stores went under left and right. I mean, it was a really tragic time. In 97, Marvel went bankrupt. You know, I mean, it was really scary. And so this industry has always seen peaks and valleys. Right now, it's pretty stable, which is good. It's good for me now that I own a shop, but you want to see it stable. I think they've learned from their mistakes. I think they're still doing some of the same stuff, but I think one of the things that they've learned is that they don't overprint. Just as an example, so, you know, in 93, actually it wasn't in 93, it was even prior to that, I think it was 87, 88, that Superman 75, which was the death of Superman, it was a big deal. That when that issue came out, they sold something like 1.7 million copies of that comic. And even though, you know, people today still look for that comic, you have to understand that today, you know, when they learn their lesson of overprinting, that some of the most popular titles only print about 90,000 copies of that title per month. And so you can see a real difference in how much they were overprinting in the 90s and really bottomed out the industry to what they're doing now. So I think one of the ways they fix that is they're doing kind of multiple printings. And a lot of people who are collectors are, you know, they don't want the second and third printings. But what we're finding is sometimes those second and third printings are actually smaller than the first printings. And so as the popularity of a comic continues to go, that those second printings may actually go up in value more than the first printings. And, you know, but I think, too, that people are finding that the older comics that maybe they want to collect, like the Silver Age, because it's broken up by eras. So you have the Golden Age, which are the, you know, 30s to the about 56. The Silver Age, which is the 60s, early 70s. Actually, it's more like the late, yeah, let's say the late 50s to late 60s. And then the Bronze Age. And so you've got certain books throughout those eras that are the high-dollar books. But grade, you know, the quality of the comic itself is going to, you know, either it's going to be worth money or not. Starting about 2011, some of the older, well, like from Golden Age to some Silver Age comics have started going high dollar. And these are high quality. So, you know, on a grading scale, 10 being the most perfect comic, that you may have like a 9.6 or a 9.8. That an Amazing Fantasy 15, which is the first appearance of Spider-Man, went for over $1 million. And then a Action Comics number one, which is the first Superman comic, went for a little over $3 million. But again, high quality. So if you have one that's only half there, you know, it's not going to be that. You know?
Yeah, but you're also talking about like Babe Ruth rookie card.
There you go. Right.
I mean,
yeah, right.
That rarity.
Yes.
Of something like
very
that.
Very much so. But it doesn't mean that comics are worthless. But sometimes it's only worth what maybe, you know, either a collector might want from you or whatever. And I would never discourage anyone from collecting. I think that you need to do a lot of research of what it means. And there is a speculation market. I mean, if you're willing to play it like the stock market, you know, some people can do really well. But some people just, it's not as lucrative as I think people have maybe convinced themselves that it could be. But it's still fun. You know, like I said, I would never, ever discourage it.
Well, certainly if anybody's looking to for a great time browsing through comics, talking to some knowledgeable people about comics, stopping by Black Ice Comics in Houghton is a great place to do that. I don't think you'd be disappointed. Your kids certainly would not be disappointed going back there. Even if they've never been into a comic book store, you'll create a comic book fan for life. Shannon, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.